Hello, everyone, and welcome to Relay, the Team GB podcast, supported by GoDaddy. And this is a very special episode as we catch up with some of our athletes who are out in Japan competing at the Tokyo Olympic Games. I'm going to say that again, but a little bit slower because it's a moment. Competing at the Tokyo Olympic Games. So, konnichiwa. Here we go. All right, I'm Vernon Kay and I'm here with Rhys James. Rhys, you enjoying it?
Yes, absolutely buzzing.
To the point where you've got the Team GB official tracksuit top on.
I'm wearing the merch, mate. I'm wearing the tracksuit. This is similar to the one they wore at the opening ceremony, the Ben Sherman. It feels good to wear it. To be honest, there's not many places I can wear it because I've also got the official one the athletes are wearing during the events. And I wore that one, believe it or not, to the gym. Yeah, I gym.
Nicola, did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
But the reason I wore it there is because I thought, I'm not that confident at the gym. But if I'm wearing the GB merch, I thought it would be interesting to just, if I go there and I do everything wrong on purpose and then see if other people start copying me. Because he's an athlete. He's not that good because he's not in Tokyo.
He's waiting
but
to
he's
leave.
Clearly for our Team GB. He's training. He's getting ready. Last minute prep.
I did mention her name. As always, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, two-time Olympic boxing champion, the lioness, the baby-faced assassin herself, Nicola Adams. Nicola, you must be enjoying the games.
Absolutely loving it. Do you know what I liked as well? The opening ceremony. I don't know whether you saw the drone-shaped Earth. I thought that was really cool. I'd love to know how they did that. I've also been enjoying the skateboarding.
I'm loving the skateboarding. Absolutely
awesome.
Loving it. It's amazing. And I love the way the commentators do it. They always react like they can't believe it. But so do the skateboarders. So the commentators always go, whenever they do a trick, they go, no way, he's not gone for that. She's landed that. They're so shocked. But also, every time a skateboarder lands something, like they do a triple McFlippy twist heel slide, I believe is the technical term.
Actual stunt, ladies and gentlemen.
They do that and then they land it and then they look so stunned. They put their hand over their mouth because they're so shocked. They can't believe it, which to me implies they're trying out stuff that they don't know how to do.
What?
Who's getting to the Olympics? But that's because there's loads of kids in it. There's loads of really young people. So they're just going, yeah, whatever, fearless, give it a go. We've already had one gold medal for a 13-year-old. I'm rooting for Sky Brown big time. Sky Brown, follow Sky Brown on social media. She's so cool. She's 13. She's Team GB's youngest Olympian. And she is absolutely class. And I can't wait to watch her. She's competing towards the end of the Olympics. But the momentum's good, isn't it? I mean, we're doing great.
Yeah.
At the time of recording, we're fifth in the medals table. But a bit more information. And these stats aren't 100% verified. But we're also Yorkshire at eighth, I think.
Are you serious?
As of last night, I'm pretty sure Yorkshire were eighth. Britain's called Tom are like 15th. We're doing very well.
Wow. All right. Well, let's go through it, shall we? These are our athletes, as it stands, as we record, have received a gold medal. Tom Daly and Matty Lee in the diving. Now, we've seen the picture.
That was emotional for us as well. I mean, clearly, we've seen the picture. It was emotional for them. It was emotional. We've all been on Tom Daly's journey. I mean, I'm not putting in the hard yards.
We've known him before he started puberty. Yeah. Let's be honest. He was so young when he started diving. And the emotional journey that he went through the loss of his father, the emotional journey he has been through, you know, coming out as a gay guy.
Having to go on Splash, you know, all sorts of stuff.
I was waiting for that one. Thank you very much. Yeah, but all that was part of his journey. You know, he became an Olympian.
That
we reckon. Like yourself, Nicola.
It's a lot of pressure, but also you're so much more of a rounded athlete when you're going into an Olympics for the second time. You just feel a lot more confident, even though you have a lot more pressure because everybody is then expecting so much more of you. You have that experience to go with it.
See, I'm getting emotional now because I'd like to think that I know him from those two series of Splash.
Send him a text.
Oh, gosh. And then Adam Peaty in the swimming. Another games, another goal for Peaty. He won the 100-meter breaststroke.
One thing about Adam Peaty is that he had a tash for the semi-final, I think it was, or qualifying. And he obviously won. And then he got rid of it. He got rid of it for the final. And I thought, yeah, because if you don't win and you've got the tash and you're a swimmer, you'd just always be thinking, I wonder if I could have lost a few seconds getting rid of that. You'd always be thinking it was the tash.
Yeah. Tom Piddock in the mountain biking. To put Tom's achievements in perspective, he broke his collarbone in June in training, a crash which split his bike in half. Tom Dean in the swimming, another swimming gold. But Tom caught COVID 6 weeks out from the Olympics. That's Dean's story, but he bounced back to win 200-meter freestyle, beating his roommate, Duncan Scott, by just 4
hundredths of a second. Duncan got silver.
What do you think that's like? I mean, obviously, it's overall positive, okay? You've won a gold and your roommate and mate has won silver. Do you think there's any kind of banter about it?
Gotta be.
Given how close it was,
gotta
do you think
be.
He's going, oh, is there a bit of unlucky, mate? I mean, if only, you
it's
know.
It's gotta be. We've got a whole bunch of silver medals. We've got bronze as well.
Well, look, we're doing too well. That's the problem.
Exactly.
We can't keep up, can we, on relay? If you could slow down a bit, GB.
But Nicola, overall, let's get a sweeping statement from you. Overall, we can be proud of the gang over there in Tokyo so far.
Yeah, they're doing absolutely amazing. The ups and downs that they've had so far over the past 18 months, and then not having their friends and the family and the crowds there, they're doing absolutely unbelievable.
Now, don't forget to follow Team GB on social media for all the action of the games. Also, have you downloaded the Team GB app created especially for the Tokyo Olympics? This app, it's absolutely brilliant. You're a big fan, Reese.
That's how I know so much. I've got the app. That's how I'm such an expert on all technical terms in skateboarding, for example. It's because I'm reading them all on the app. But that's how I always find it. I wake up and see all these medal things from app notifications. You know, I'm not going to not have the app, am I? I'm wearing the merch.
Exactly. We are proper fanboy and girling on this podcast. And as we know, if you need any information about any sport, then don't forget to slide into Reese's DMs because he is the man who knows everything about every Olympic sport, even skeet shooting. Now, we've already been gripped by what we've seen at these games because of the time difference. A lot of action is early in the morning. So you've got to be committed. You've got to be dedicated. You've got to have your stall set out, you know, maybe coffee, maybe some lavender to kind of relax you and ease you into your sleep, which will happen after 12 in the afternoon.
Sure, yeah.
What I mean?
A showbiz way to approach all of this.
Well, you never know. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I guess you could just sit on the sofa in a blanket with a cup of tea, but, you know, it's a long stretch. That's what I'm saying, because they start early and they end early as well. Yeah. Reese, Nicola, have you managed to jump onto Japanese time, or are you watching all the highlights, basically?
I got to confess, I'm not a morning guy. I'm on catch up.
Right.
I'm on catch up big time. I wake up and then immediately, you know, I happen to follow the Team GB Twitter and Instagram accounts, which I couldn't recommend more. Contractually obligated to say that. But no, they're excellent. And then you just immediately see, it's sort of spoilers, really, if I'm going to watch the highlights. But you just immediately go, we're smashing it. We've won this. And then I just go and watch the highlights of that. But the only thing I've watched live actually so far is a bit of skateboarding.
And Nicola, we know that you're dialed into the team itself, so you're kind of living it live, I guess. Or are you doing a Reese and just getting the highlights and catch up?
Yeah, I've just been basically doing a Reese as well. I've been getting the catch ups, the ones that I can catch live, because I get up quite early in the morning. So like I'm up at 5 in the morning, so I can catch a couple of the boxing matches as they're going on, and then I get the rest on the catch up.
All right, well, let's welcome Tracy Moore. Tracy is a Team GB superfan. Tracy, these two are on catch-up. I would imagine that you are up in the middle of the night, the early hours, watching Team GB perform and do their stuff.
Yeah, that's absolutely criminal to be on catch-up. You are supposed to be doing everything live. It's simple. You get up, you watch it, you have a nana nap in between sessions, then you get up again, you watch the next big event, then you go back to sleep, then you get up. And in my case at the moment, I'm going to work as well.
Oh, Tracy!
So it's a ridiculous schedule that I'm keeping, but in the real world, I'm a PE teacher and a sports coach, but at the moment, I'm also working in a mass vaccination centre for the COVID vaccinations. So I've got to do my bits. So for another week, I'm also doing vaccinations as well as covering the Olympics.
Wow, well, good for you. That deserves one of our relay round of applause. Thank you, Tracy, for that. So, Tracy, as we record this on the 27th of July, Tuesday AM, what's been your highlight so far?
I would have to say the 1-2 in the pool in the 200 freestyle. Absolutely stunning race, stunning finish, and such an immense moment for us to get 1-2 in the pool after over 100 years.
We saw the video of Tom Dean's mum and friends and family all celebrating in his mum's garden. What is your vibe like when you're watching something like that? Are you screaming at your TV? Are you going nuts?
Yeah, I'm going mad as well. I'm part of a group of Olympic ticket hunters, and we're all connected by WhatsApp, and we're all screaming and going. It's absolutely brilliant. But then I like to bring out my Olympic torch at every opportunity and run around the living room to celebrate all the events.
As you do.
Wow,
I love that.
Tracy, you've been to 6 Olympics already. You were supposed to be out there in Tokyo. What were you most looking forward to seeing live?
It's funny, really, because I'm an athletics coach, so I love watching the athletics. But as a visual spectacle, my first Olympic tickets that I had this year were for the BMX.
Oh, we went to the BMX. Wow. No, radical, dude. Woo!
Yeah. And we went to the BMX in Rio, and that was, well, it was on my birthday, which was brilliant, but it's absolute carnage. We were on the first corner where everybody flies through the air and then crashes. And, you know, we take our kids. It's a family holiday to the Olympics. And to see BMX in real life when they're racing and crashing, oh, it's amazing.
We always hear about athletes having superstitions, you know, little rituals they have to do beforehand to make sure they definitely win. As an avid viewer, do you have any, you know, have you got anything lucky that you're involved in? You got any superstitions?
Yeah, usually have lucky pants. Lucky pants are a must. But when you're doing a long haul Olympics, you can't keep washing and wearing. So lucky pants tend to get retired after an Olympics. When it comes to the relays and the track and field, I always shout hand as if I'm in the team. So hand is part of the changeover and the athletes would shout it themselves. But I shout it for them from the stands as if I'm making a difference. Like, get your hand out! Hand!
Once a skill teacher, always a skill teacher.
I love one of those. I'd love them to win and then to come point up at the stands and come over to you and go, thanks for the reminder.
Nicola, do you remember Tracy shouting, left, right, right, oh my God!
Keep your hands up.
Actually, I did do that for Nicola at the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. I did fight every moment of her bout with her.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Thanks, Tracy. No, Tracy, just wait there one second, because we know that you can't enjoy the whole Japanese experience because obviously there are no fans at the Olympics in Tokyo. But we've kind of got the second best thing. Let's bring in David McElhinney. Hello, David.
Hello, how are you doing?
We're very good, thank you. Now, David actually lives in Tokyo. He's been there for 3 years. So we thought what we'd do is we'd hook you two up, Tracy and David, so that David can give you a little bit of a sense of what it's actually like in Japan. So that, you know, you mentioned earlier on that you sit up in the early hours, you have a nana nap and then you crack on. But we thought that David could give us some advice on how you can make your experience even more authentic by maybe turning your front room into some kind of Japanese tribute.
Yeah. No pressure.
So David, you've been there for 3 years for work, I would imagine, or is it a relationship?
Yeah, for work. Yeah, I came at the start of 2018 and I've been, working here since.
Have you ever been to Tokyo?
I haven't, no.
Nicola, have you ever been?
I've only been to training camps, so I've literally seen like the hotel and the training venue.
Tracy, have you ever been to Japan?
No, been all over the world, but not Japan. Should have been there now.
Yes, all right, calm down a little bit, Tracy. Need some of that lavender.
What's the atmosphere like over there at the moment? Because obviously people aren't allowed in the stadiums and there is a reason for that. But is there still like a buzz where you are at the moment about the Olympics at the moment?
One of the best things for me actually about the games starting is that it feels like they've become about the sports again, especially with Japan doing well. It's caused a bit of a shift in the air for the better.
And what about viewing techniques? Because the Japanese remove their shoes when they enter pretty much every building, right? So if Tracy is to watch the Olympics in a classic Japanese fashion, what's she got to do, David? Or what have we got to do?
Yeah, I mean, you could take your shoes off for sure. You know, you could sit on the floor in a kind of zazen sort of, you know, what do they call it? The lotus, the cross-legged sort of meditation type position, or seiza style, which is on the knees. I mean, one thing actually that I really noticed about Japanese fans at the 2019 World Cup was that they get really animated and really excited and at everything. You know, it's not just if the Japanese are doing well, they will support everyone with as much feverish intensity as, you know, they would their own. And that's kind of great. So if you want to support like a Japanese, I guess just be excitable and cheer everything on.
And cheer everyone on. Are there any specific sports that the Japanese people are more excited about?
I get it's kind of like, you know, Team GB. It's anywhere they have a medal contender. Obviously, you know, the martial arts tradition is huge here. So judo's a big one. I think actually the other night, a brother and sister sibling became the first to win gold on the same day in the same event. So that was obviously, you know, a big moment for Japan.
Now, just to sort of round up, David, let's get the official kind of bullet point list of a checklist of what Tracy needs to do to get this experience. So let's start off. We know, you know, taking off her shoes, sitting in the lotus position. We've got that down. But now we're going to have to let's get it properly authentic. So pre-match meal. Right, what are we talking? Sushi?
I bought some panko breadcrumbs and I was going to do katsu chicken. My children, when we said we were going to Japan, were delighted that a certain fried chicken chain is considered quite cool in Japan. So they thought they were having that every single day for the holiday.
What, you mean the Colonel?
Yes, the Colonel. Isn't it the traditional New Year's Eve meal in Japan?
It's even worse. It's the traditional Christmas Day meal. And last year, I think...
What, yeah, a family bucket for Christmas?
Hold on, it gets worse. Last year was the 50th anniversary, so you couldn't get a seat because the place was booking out weeks in advance.
Wow, you could book it. Okay, so the meal you've got, you're going to go for, I think, let's combine the two and you can have a katsu bucket. Okay, that's the meal.
What about katsu zinga?
Okay, yeah. Katsu tower burger. That blend of herbs and spices, Werner. Drink, what are we talking? I mean, you're going with the chicken restaurant, so are we going Pepsi or are we going to go for, something more authentic like sake?
Well, an interesting fact, actually. Sake actually just means alcohol in Japanese, so what? Sometimes,
well, something more authentic. It's authentic to Britain as well, then.
Yeah. So what we think of as sake is actually called nihonshu, which is like the rice wine.
I was going to say something really stupid, but it's not the first time, is it? Is sushi the traditional Japanese food? You know what I mean? Is it like, we say, oh yeah, roast beef, but it's not actually, is it? We like a curry. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, right. Yeah. So right, you're saying that in Japan, they're probably actually just having fish and chips every day. Is that what you're getting?
We're about to find out. So go on, David. What can Tracy expect, or what should she buy in?
Yeah, sushi's great, and people do love it here. Everybody eats sushi. Probably not, that often, just because it's expensive, especially if you want to get it for decent quality. But yeah, I mean, sushi is very much traditional Japanese food. Like lots of the other ones, like ramen, which we think of as very Japanese, was brought in by the Chinese and stuff. So yeah, in a sense, sushi is more traditional than ramen is, I would say.
Okay. David, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, all the way live from Japan. And here in the UK, it's 21 minutes past 11 in the morning. What time is it there?
21 past 7 in the evening, so I'm 8 hours ahead.
All right, so you're just off to the local Irish pub for a Guinness and a bag of Walker's crisps.
Yeah, my local Irish pub, an hour and a half away.
Tracy, awesome. Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us. And I hope that David has given you some advice on how you can enhance your Japan Olympics 2021 experience.
It can only get better. Once I go full time next week and I will be full on Japanese time, I will employ all those methods to make it an authentic experience.
So there you go, Tracy, our super fan. And if you're supporting Team GB in the same way that Tracy is, in your own unique way for these games, then let us know. You can email us, relaypodcast@tbimedia.co.uk. All right, gang. So let's have a quick update on how our athletes, the athletes that we've...
Specifically relays athletes.
Yeah, relays athletes. There you go. Thanks, Rhys. The ones that we've talked about on the podcast, on previous podcasts. And if you want to listen back, you can do wherever you get your podcast from. So let's go. Taekwondo fighter Bianca Walkden is fighting as we record this for a bronze medal.
She was so unlucky. She was so unlucky. Literally last second of her fight and she lost a couple of points.
Oh, it's painful.
Rather, her opponent gained a couple of points. Yeah, she looked gutted. But I don't know how you possibly pick yourself up and get your head in the game for that bronze and fight for it like it's gold. But
well, she did it before.
She did do it before.
Fingers crossed she can do it again. And there is a little bit of ownership with the athletes that we've talked to previously on the podcast because we know them. I say personally, but it feels like we know them personally.
I'm following them more than the other ones because I'm just sort of like, well, come on. We read that poem to them.
Yeah, exactly, Nicola.
Me and Nicola, we inspired them. They're doing this for us.
Leah Williamson and Carly Telford in the women's football.
Yeah, they're already safely through to the quarterfinals from two great opening games. They are playing a final group game again as we record against Canada at the moment. They're obviously going to want to win that. And we'll be catching up with Leah's mum, Amanda, to find out what it's like to be a parent. I presume it's pretty nerve-wracking of someone who is in the Olympics, watching it from home as well. She's busy today.
Yeah, absolutely. Not so good news, Nicola, for Chev Clark.
Yeah, absolutely gutted for him. He's out of the competition. It was really close fight, split decision, so it could have gone either way. Just heartbroken for him. Yeah, but I'm sure, he'll come back strong.
Yeah, fingers crossed, but that's tough, a split decision. Sailor Hannah Mills, who was chosen to carry the Union flag at the opening ceremony.
I was buzzing when I saw that.
She still competed alongside Ellie McIntyre in the 470 class. Hope they're giving it some to the opposition. Fingers crossed. The rowing couple we spoke to, very funny. Matt Rossiter and Polly Swan. Hilarious. Matt's Coxless Fourboat is into the final, whilst Polly's into the semi-finals of the pairs. They're going for glory in the next few days.
And of course, hockey player Sam Ward, the masked magician, scored the opening goal of Team GB's campaign in our win against South Africa, followed by, again, found the target against Canada and just got off the pitch against Germany. And I am so pleased to say that Sam joins us now from the Athletes Village. Hello, Sam.
Hello, how are we?
Yeah, we're good. How is the mask? Is it shiny? Is it polished?
Oh, is it? It's actually, I'd say it's a bit sweaty and damp right now.
Because you've just finished playing the Germans. Obviously, that didn't go as planned, so we'll skip back a couple of games. It was great up until that point.
Yeah, definitely. We've had a pretty good start. What we could describe as pretty tough games, they're always going to be with South Africa and Canada first two up. But yeah, we ground out a 3-1 win against South Africa and then a 3-1 win versus Canada yesterday. So that sits us pretty nicely in the group, if I'm honest. And yeah, hopefully 6 points is actually what you need to go through to a quarterfinal. So now we've got a bit of a run to see where we can finish in the group now.
And you got your goal. You got your goal in the first fixture, I believe. I messaged you about it, said congratulations. You said a classic bit of slap and tickle, as we discussed last time.
Bang on. There you go.
So, Sam, obviously, your tone tells us that spirits are high. Even though the German defeat hasn't kind of knocked us centre, it's something you can obviously go back and look at. It's something you can work on. Hopefully, we are through to the next stages. But just tell us about what it's like in camp, in particular in the hockey camp.
Well, hockey camp's pretty great, really. There's lots of us. We have lots of friends, you see, so we have lots of time to spend with each other. So that in particular is great. Spirits are high after the last couple of days. Today, obviously, a bit tough, a few people a bit down, but we pick each other up, and that's probably one of the big things about being a team sport, isn't it? There's lots of us to help each other, support each other through the tough times, and that's kind of the big togetherness that now then creates us to get back on the horse and put a shift in 2 days' time.
One thing that's in the news a lot over here, that's in the papers, people are talking about the internet, is the cardboard beds. Now look, you're over there,
look at Sam's face,
he's not happy about the cardboard beds. Okay, now there's been rumors flying around as to why there's cardboard beds, but look, you're over there, you've had the experience and you look livid, so can you give us any more information?
I can confirm they are very firm, unlike the news suggests.
Yeah.
But let's just say, not the best for an athlete's back.
Oh yeah, are they actually made out of cardboard?
Yeah, I'll get a picture out and send it out. Yeah. Oh, my word. It is pure cardboard. Like, basically three cardboard boxes, and then they've got, like, cardboard box rungs and everything. So, yeah, they are just a bit firm. I have to say, as the trip goes on, you get more and more used to it. So I can't moan too much, but early doors, it was a bit of a struggle.
Sam, we're picking up medals now on a regular basis. Can you feel the momentum? Can you feel the energy that's coming from the UK?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's incredible. Things have started to kick off. And I think even not just the medals, it's just more and more people are getting into the block in the village. And I have to say, I've got to give a big shout out here. We had a pre-game kind of team meeting to then leave to go to a game. And we had to walk through the, I think it was the Rugby Sevens girls. And we have never had so many fans in all our life in hockey. They cheered for us so loud. It was the best moment of our careers. We got out and we were so happy.
Brilliant.
That's amazing, isn't it? They're just all, everyone supporting each other, everyone. Are you spending all your spare time watching all the other events?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we in our room have, I think it's 45 channels, and it's just a different sport on each one, pretty much full time. And you're just literally just scrolling through, trying to find a GB person who's competing. And then just every so often as well, in the lower part of the building, there's the odd TV and there's a time delay between. And the other day, I think it was when they won the diving, there was a cheer and I walked from one room, we got through, and they were cheering in the next room about the thing they'd just seen. That's just the kind of atmosphere over here. It's just, no matter what, just everyone supports each other so much, and just seeing someone else win a medal is just incredible. And the round of applause, even then they get back after they've got their medal and everyone's cheering. It's just one big, like, united family.
Yeah, it really is. And I know what he's talking about as well, when you come back and you've won and everybody's cheering. And then when you see the medal tally and you just see the gold and the all the medals, it spurs you on. You're like, yeah, like you see, as soon as you see that first medal, you're like, right, this is it. You know, we're going to go get our medals as well. It's an awesome atmosphere, awesome experience.
Sam, after the journey you've been on, what we talked to you about, all the stuff you went through that we talked to you about last time you were on the podcast, it must have felt emotional just stepping out there that first time, because you've obviously been through it, thought, you know, do I know if I'm ever even going to be able to play this again? And then you're in the Olympics in Tokyo, stepping out.
Oh, just, I can't actually, it's rare, I'm lost for words, but yeah, I am on this. It was just incredible. Singing the national anthem, I think I've never quite gripped the guy next to me as tight as I have. And he was, at the end of it, it was like, wow, that hurt. And I was like, pinching his back.
Injuring your teammate.
It was just emotional and just, yeah, kind of, I think for me, after everything that's happened, the biggest thing I've come here with is probably a different attitude of just, I'm lucky to be here and so proud and happy to be here. I'm just enjoying the now and I'm pretty relaxed about it all and just taking each day as it comes and just playing with freedom, probably more than ever, just because I didn't expect to be here and it's an absolute honour. And yeah, I'm just here to do everyone as proud as I can and repay them for what they've done for me.
And do you think that you're getting a lot of that confidence from when I let you win that chocolate ball chopsticks race? Do you think that, you know, you say repaying people for what they've done for you? I mean, you know, that's at least one of the things that someone's done.
I think it was solely that, really, to be fair. I think I came here thinking if I can beat him in that, then I can definitely score goals. My slap and tickle will be in full flow.
There we go. Brilliant. You're Sam, welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Sam, give our regards to the team. Send all love to the squad. We're all thinking about you. You've become the poster boy, really, in the mask, which is quite cool. Good luck in the next game against the Dutch. We'll be behind you. We'll be whooping and hollering. And enjoy it. Enjoy it, my friend. Take lots of photographs.
Brilliant. Thanks for having me again.
You're listening to Relay, supported by GoDaddy, the company that empowers everyday entrepreneurs. It's also the official domain name, website builder and web hosting partner of Team GB. Well, I'm delighted to say that we are now joined by an Olympic legend, a name synonymous with gymnastics, Beth Tweddle. Beth's a three-time Olympian and a bronze medalist from London 2012. She's now part of the BBC's commentary team. Beth Tweddle, everyone. Yay! Woo! Hi, Beth. How are you feeling?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, we're really good. We're really good, but it's not about us. It's not about us, Reese. It's about the Olympians, I'm afraid. Beth, the tidal wave of emotion has swept the nation, as it always does during the Olympics. What are your general views as we've just kicked off the Olympics in Japan?
Do you know what? It's just been incredible. Every morning you wake up and you kind of got more medals coming at you and they're literally coming every half an hour. Yeah, it's just been incredible.
Is it difficult for you as a former Olympian to watch the Olympic athletes performing? Same question to Nicola as well. What does it feel like as a medal winner from the Olympics to watch fellow Team GB athletes performing?
Do you want to go first?
Now, yeah, go on, Len. Now that I'm not competing, obviously I miss that competitive atmosphere. But then on the flip side, you can also sit there and watch them going, do you know how much hard work they've done, the ups and downs that they've been through, especially given the past 18 months of, is it going to happen? Is it not? What are the restrictions? How are we going to train? How do we build up to kind of a year late Olympic Games?
Yeah, definitely. Same as Beth just said, the hard work that it takes to be in that position and then having the added pressure of it being a COVID Games and you're getting tested all the time. So you've got the stress of, I hope I don't get COVID and I'm out of the competition as well. So it's like, not just that you're worrying about trying to win a medal, you're trying to stay healthy and safe at the same time. So it's a lot to think about. And I guess the same for me, I miss the competition side, but I don't really miss the hard work and the training that goes with it.
You can now eat cheesecake, Nicola.
Yeah, I can literally just sit on the couch, eating cheesecake, watching Team GB win medals. It's awesome.
There's one question I want to ask you, which it's that moment just before your chosen sport starts. And for you personally, it's that moment before you actually start doing what you've trained all those years to do. So, for example, when we saw Tom and Matty on the top of the board, synchronized diving, what emotions are going through your head? Because you've got no opportunity. There is no room for error. It is 5 years of training for this moment, which for those guys took, what, 2 seconds maximum? And if you, to coin a phrase, mess it up, it all goes down the drain. It's all in the bin. So just can you just give us a sense of what goes through your mind and how you prepare yourself? Because you know what you've got to do. Beth, for example, you know, you knew your routine. Nicola, you knew your opponent. We've talked about that in previous podcasts. And I'm sure Tom and Matty knew their routine. They knew exactly what they were going to do. But is there an element of doubt? You know, when all those people are looking at you and Tom might be thinking, how tight are my underpants?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just give us a real sense of what it was like as you stood there knowing that this next routine is going to get you a medal.
Yeah, it is a difficult moment, but I think the hardest moment for gymnasts, and it's probably the same for most of the sports, is qualification day. Because for us, we have one day where all of the finals are decided from. So if that day goes wrong, that is your whole games out. So you're almost more nervous for that event. And then once you get to the final, you are nervous, but you know it's kind of... I remember standing there and we have a blackboard that kind of has your name on it and you have to wait for a traffic light system. So it'll sit on red until the judges are ready and they'll turn it green and you present to them. And I remember standing there and it is completely the wrong moment to be thinking this. But in my head, all I could think is I have trained 20 years and I have got 35 seconds to prove myself.
Wow.
And in that 35 seconds...
Wow.
It can make or break you. I finished fourth in Beijing and it was the hardest point of my career. So to be there 4 years later in front of a home crowd and know that I've got 35 seconds to kind of prove myself and I do not want to feel like I did after Beijing. But your body does go into autopilot. I don't know about yourself, Nicola, but you kind of... You've done it thousands of times. Your body takes over. Once you start thinking about it, that's usually when it becomes a lot harder.
As soon as the bell's about to go, I'll be just thinking about my tactics, what I need to do. I'll be thinking all those things and I'll be like halfway through a round and I'll be like, ooh, I'm going to get one of those cupcakes from the from the lunch show because they were really good.
And that's
all
she thinks about.
In the game.
Nicola, there is no way. Are you
that
serious? Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Did you get the
cupcakes later? Yeah, I did.
Did you get it?
Really,
that's all right then.
It was the ones that had in the London games. They were just, and they only did them on certain days, and they were just so good.
It sounds like this is a good reason to train for 20 years, so you can get a delicious cupcake.
Yeah.
You've certainly earned it.
I'm sure there's easier ways of getting a cupcake.
Yeah. Not a Team GB one, not an official Team GB, the coveted Team GB cupcake.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
Beth, final question. We seem to be doing all right. Where do you think we're going to end up?
I think this games, of all games, is so unpredictable because normally you've had lots of kind of preparation competitions, you've had world championships, so everyone kind of knows where they're going to be. And I've heard a couple of like team coaches say, look, I just don't know where we can predict them because they've just not competed for 18 months. So we have started really, really well. I see that there's plenty of medals still to come through for Team GB.
Beth, I got one final question, which is I've been knocking about, I've been speaking to a lot of athletes and I'm trying to pick up an Olympic sport. I'm 30, so I'm trying to get one and get into the next Olympics because I've seen there's a few 30, 31-year-old debutants at the Olympics this year. I'm thinking it might not be too late for me. Is it too late for me to become an Olympic gymnast?
Well, there's actually, isn't there a female gymnast who's doing her sixth Olympics? She's 46 years
her
old.
Eighth Olympics.
Eighth?
Yeah, 46.
Yeah, but that means that does imply some experience.
Do you know what? It's never too old to get involved in sport. There's so many gym clubs around the country that do adult classes. Get yourself down.
All right, so let's get a different perspective of what it's like being an Olympian or an Olympian's parent. And it's a great pleasure to welcome to Relay Team GB footballer Leah Williamson's mum. Hiya, Amanda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. You sound nervous.
I'm always nervous. I really feel it when Leah plays.
We're here to relay the experience and the emotion of what you're going through to all our listeners because we know what it's like as a fan to sit and watch our athletes, but what's it like as a parent?
You worry about the silliest of things. Have they had a good night's sleep? are they eating everything?
Oh, I love that. As a parent, Amanda, I know exactly what you're thinking.
Are they getting in with the wrong crowd?
Yeah. Have they got some spending money?
How are they doing in the exams? Yeah. I know it. I've heard it all.
So it never changes, basically, Amanda.
No, because we can't be there as well. It's so hard because don't tell anybody, but I'd always sneak in a packet of Frazzles or Bourbon biscuits. Don't tell Dawn, the nutritionist, please.
No, we won't. Well, you've just done that for us, Amanda, I'll be honest with you.
Leah told us on the podcast, we had Leah on the podcast, and she told us that she always wanted to be in the Olympics, that it was a dream of hers. She also told us about the moment that she found out she'd been selected and got the call up for the Olympic team. Now, she said that you were waiting outside her house. What's your version of events with that story?
Well, Leah knows what she wants. She's very strong-minded. And I'd spoke to her the day before and she said, I'm going to stay in my own flat, have a not very good feeling about this. So I just want to stay and deal with it. So I said, absolutely fine. She said, I will text you. I'm going to be an Olympian or I'm not. So I said, okay, grand. But as the evening went on, I, in true mum style, got some red roses and got up at six and drove and hid down the road a little bit so that she couldn't see my car and just waited and waited till 8 o'clock when I knew they were going to get the email. So when she got the email, I just thought, if it's bad news, I'll say to her, do you want me to come to you? And if she says no, I would have driven home quietly.
You're lying, Amanda. You're lying. You would have been on the door with some Frazzles and let's have a cry.
Yeah, no, so that was in my brain. I was thinking I'd truly respect whatever she wanted, but she texted me to say, I'm going to be an Olympian. I was out the car like a light, knocking on the door. And when I knocked on the door, she just went, I wonder why you hadn't texted me back immediately as I just walked in. So, yeah, so it was lovely that we did get to share that few minutes just together, and she just smiled at me to say, did I expect anything else? So
Amanda, we've got some breaking news. So with the breaking news, I'm going to go over to Rhys James.
Amanda, are you aware of the team news?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I can reveal that I think you're going to be having to do some phone calls in a couple of hours because Leah is starting.
Excellent. That's such good news.
She's starting against Canada. Now, obviously, you said you get nervous when you watch Leah. Of course you do. That's natural. It's every parent's going to feel like that. But they're already through to the quarterfinals. So is there any kind of sense that there's a bit less pressure today?
Not at all. Okay. I know. Not at all. No. I know Leah and I know the squad and they want to go through strongly. If you want to be the best, you've got to convincingly, I think, beat everybody. So the girls will go out today again for a win and, you know, keep with the confidence that they've built today into the next round. So, yeah, looking forward to the game.
We better let you go because, you know, we know you're off. You got to watch Leah starting. Yeah. I mean, it's very important that you go and you get
20
to
minutes. You've got 20 minutes,
you get
Amanda.
To watch the game. So best of luck.
I know, I'm just getting to the family. Thank you.
All right, lots of love. Come on, Team GB.
Thank you.
Go on, Leah. And if you've been inspired by listening to our athletes on this podcast or by watching the coverage of Tokyo 2020, here's your chance to get involved in an Olympic sport. Here you go, Rhys, this is for you. A festival of sport is coming your way on the 14th and 15th of August with free events taking place across the UK. And you may even get the chance to meet one of our Olympic athletes. That's IamTeamGB.com for more details. I might take the girls down there. Well, that's it for this episode. Really enjoyed that. Nice to get an insight, Nicola, whilst the games are going on.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, we got to speak to Sam. It's like a behind-the-scenes sneak peek. What's going on? What's the vibe like? What's the atmosphere like? What's the goss?
It just feels like a real camaraderie in camp.
I guess it's just you have all these sports, you all come together, and it's normally only at an Olympics or a Commonwealth Games where you actually get to see everybody again. It's like when you get to, I don't know, when you first come back to college and everybody's just like, oh man, I haven't seen you for ages.
What have you been up to over the summer? Winning gold medals, mate.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening. We'll speak to you next when the games are over, which is always a sad time. For me, it's like the end of summer when the leaves start falling off the trees. You know, it's going dark now at 5:30. Yeah. It's like there's no Olympics anymore. What am I going to watch? It's back to Neighbours. In the meantime, don't forget to follow Team GB on social media and download the Team GB app to keep up to date with all the action, medals, interviews and more from Tokyo. Relay is the Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy and produced by TBI Media. Enjoy the rest of the games. From me, Vernon Cates, au revoir.
From me, Rhys James, goodbye.
Nicola Adams, the lioness.
She said it doesn't need an outro. The lioness. Thank you very much, Nicola. And from all of us, come on, Team GB. We'll see you on the other side.
Hang on one second. I don't know if you can hear my dog drinking, so I had to turn my mic off.
Keep that in! Keep that in!